Okay, we did it again,
I
guys.
don't
I'm
know.
still
I
learning.
don't know that we're peppy enough for that
I don't.
song.
I know that was that's a really.
That song is a lot that you have to do to be able to use that song, and I'm not
I
sure
feel
we're
like we need to have a better
there.
hello after that song. Like,
Instead of
you're not
just like
doing that
erupting
song
into
justice. Instead of
laughter,
just being like, ah.
Well, also, we could maybe play it to figure out how to play it on like how real people play things on the computer as opposed to your phone.
That would be good, yeah, if we
Yeah.
had it like
Just a thought.
on
I mean, just a
I
thought.
those are those are steps down
Hey
the
guys, welcome to Theology on the Rocks, where we have a special guest. We invited a boy.
we invited a boy.
We did get
I'm
a
so
comment.
honored.
We did get a comment in our Instagram that said, "You've had a lot of boys on lately." So we thought that was a real indication that we should have more of them on.
Yeah, we figured that meant you liked it.
Right.
But also, we this is a good boy, so
Aww.
we're friends. We're friends.
If you
This is
become a serial
a
killer next week, you're really gonna, because
girl.
we
We
can't edit this. We don't know
reject
how to edit this, so.
everything. No
I know.
promises. No
Like at least
promises.
wait, at
I,
least wait 2 weeks for.
there is a male loneliness epidemic, I'm just
Oh
saying.
yeah. Oh
So
my God. Christy put up a thing of like the hockey players. It was like I had like 5 seconds before men disappointed me again.
oh my God. It was it the one where it just starts screaming? Like
Yeah.
5 seconds of joy and then it's just like screaming.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, the girl's just like ripping off
Just
all the
ripping everything off and screaming. And I was like, this is it. This is a live reaction to me finding out that the entire men's hockey team is trash. So
Well, before we get into that, which
let's properly introduce Nick firstly.
he's
Nick.
Nick Polk, who is our friend from Tolkien Pop, but also a friend from Beer Camp, and also just a friend because we don't
Friend,
have
yeah.
to have places to find them. He does support Ohio State, but no one can be
Yeah.
perfect.
Oh,
I'm
wait.
alone.
You are outnumbered right
Suddenly,
Sorry. Sorry,
my Ohio
SEC.
State experience makes sense. I'm alone. But we want to welcome you to the podcast. It's a lot of fun and energy, but you're here. And Nick is also, I mean, I would say theologian. I would argue, or would you say theologian? How would you claim
Yeah,
yourself?
well,
What's
how would you?
like a lit person?
I don't know. I mean, I hate like in the Tolkien world, people always like they'll publish one paper or they'll do a review or do a talk and they're like, I'm a Tolkien scholar. And I hate that shit. And I'm like, I'm an
We're going to talk
enthusiast.
about
Yeah, I'm an enthusiast. I theology is probably my niche, like, interest, but I don't know. I mean, I like doing theology, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
not to get real evangelistic
Many
about it.
theologians have said we're all theologians, and I just, you can go ahead and claim that too.
I
That's
have
true. I
said
appreciate that.
that,
Yeah,
Chrissy.
Ilya said it, but like old dead ones have said it. I think Augustine said it at some stage.
Give Augustine my credit. He's
Yeah.
I was trying to like attach
still dead.
you. I was trying to like
He doesn't need
bolster
tenure. I
you.
need
Yeah.
tenure.
You need tenure.
Augustine's got nothing on
Yeah,
Dr. Leah
Augustine. Sure.
Robinson, you know?
Sure. Screw Augustine. If you actually kind of listen to some of his stuff, it's pretty bad, actually.
It's pretty bad. It's
I've taught
pretty bad.
I taught I can't I have to teach
Indiana's
intro to
got
theology
the
this
violence.
year. Yeah, I have to teach intro to theology this year, and like Tertullian, I'm just like, oh God.
Who's the dude? This who's the dude who said that if you sneeze, it's like a sign that you're like demon possessed?
Yeah.
Isn't that Augustine or like one of those dudes?
Who was
Is
it
that
this time?
Aquinas?
I do remember that though. That was.
Oh, I think it was Origen. This is
Oh,
insanely correct. I think it
that
was
feels very
Origen.
Origin.
That feels
Yeah,
right. That feels
that
true.
feels correct.
We don't
Yeah,
even
full
look it up, but
vibes.
that feels right.
We're gonna say it.
Tertullian just said that women were the devil's gateway, which I'm not altogether mad at, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of like that actually.
I accept it, so that's
You
fine.
know what? I think that this week has taught me is that maybe we are because the rage of women right now
You got it.
it does feel like
Our algorithms are filled with a lot of angry
we're in a
people.
collective state at the moment.
You would think that it would be like that a lot of the time, but sometimes we forget.
And sometimes then we remember. We have to like awaken our inner banshee. But
what's the collective banshee anger right now?
The hockey team.
Yeah. Like awakened it, and now we're just mad at everything.
Yeah, now it's like a shot
going out everywhere. It has to die down again.
Real weak if you have a woman in your life. Or someone who identifies as woman to get flowers,
yeah,
chocolates. agree to go to Wuthering Heights with her.
You know what you should do is because the men's hockey team hasn't apologized and apparently won't be apologizing for making fun of the women's hockey team.
Their teeth, they make men,
right. Men can go ahead and apologize on their behalf, like they.
I'll go ahead and apologize. And if that means I can go to Wuthering Heights, and then I don't know the main actor, but if I can imagine him putting his finger in my mouth, I mean, I'll apologize all day long.
His name is Jacob Elrod. Elordi?
Elordi? Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
His name is Heathcliff to me.
His name is that tall guy. He was also in Frankenstein. He's having himself a literary year.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. I'd let him Heath my cliff.
Yes, you would. What was it? That thing I put up at Wuthering Heights is just about Jacob just being 6'5".
Being 6'5".
The whole time I'm like, oh, he's so tall.
He's so tall.
And he is. A lot of his character is just being very tall.
Actually, I was talking about this with one of my classes this week on Monday. And I asked him, like, have you ever been kind of nervous around a man and then realize it's just because he's really tall? And one of the guys in my class, one of them is tall. And I said, like, have you ever noticed that people seem to be a little bit scared of you? And he was like, yeah, sometimes. So, Nick, you're tall. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Do you ever feel like, oh, I need to be extra nice because this person seems like they're scared of me?
Yeah, and I try to, like, if I'm walking somewhere in public and I recognize that there's, like, multiple women coming this way, like, towards me, I try to, like, if it's possible, I try to go in a different direction so that I don't make women feel nervous.
That's
like,
nice.
Or if I, like, try to cross the street because I'm like, I know I'm tall. And, like, you know, all of y'all listen to murder podcasts. You know, I don't want to, you know.
We call them education podcasts.
Exactly, right.
How to survive podcasts. Yeah.
Survival podcasts.
Yeah.
You also have a beard, which I feel like the beard also.
And a hat. Most dogs are afraid.
Murder, maybe?
What? Is that like a thing? Tall, beard, and hat is like the combination for murder?
It is if you're a dog. My dog would be like, absolutely not.
This is a Dateline I watch is like men that. You could walk right beside me hand in hand on the street and I would not think of you as they're like short.
It's always like the man that you white, think, meh, that shaven. Guy's the thing. And then the scary guy is like the one who saves you.
Here's the thing. I'll say that the short weirdos that I know that you're like, they're harmless, like 100%. I am like, they would murder.
Absolutely. I'm surprised
they probably have a body count, like in a sexual way, like in a murder,
like a bad way. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if either, like, I know Leah is not up to date, but Nick, I don't know if you or your wife watch Love is Blind.
She watches Love is Blind. I've watched a season or two.
I need you to just like confirm with her later, but Chris on this current season also.
Is that the CrossFit guy?
It's in Ohio. Chris is short. He's so short. And he keeps just being like the worst person, like everything that comes out. It's just like, oh, no. So like ask her. She'll confirm all of this.
And also he looks like he's like, I only date women that go to CrossFit. But then he looks like my big toe. Like,
he's not like, dude.
I mean, it's fine. If you were to come up to me and you're like jacked and you're like, hey, girly, like I only date guys. Well, first of all, if you say those words, I only date girls that go to CrossFit, I'm immediately just going to walk away from you. But if you got past that initial bit, like if I was like 17 or something, but he says it and like, Yeah, right. Back in my foolish days. But and he's not jacked. He looks, again, it's,
he does not look like the kind of man who can have these kinds of requirements.
And we don't like to, here on Theology on the Rocks, we do not shame, body shame. However, no. We do man shame. And
yeah. 100%, man, I like it.
And that man, what is going on in his head? I'm gonna publicly say the Two Black Girls One Rose, that podcast is epically funny about you should get your wife to watch or to listen to it. It's so funny. It's just commentary on like reality TV. But they absolutely eviscerate this man.
It's amazing.
And
what is it, two black girls, one rose?
One rose, yeah. I think okay, reference nice. To I guess The Bachelor, but it's probably. It, their That's stuff funny. On
it's just this season somehow. I mean, Denver was not great, but like this season is way worse. It's and I'm like,
it's
in Ohio.
That's true. Like, no, that's real.
It's
Here's
real.
The thing.
I Ohio keep telling people too. Crazy, dude. Yeah. I keep telling people, I'm like, guys, this is why I don't like that state. Like this.
Chrissy is like the biggest Ohio State fan, but she does not like Ohio.
I like to say I like Ohio State. I do not like the state of Ohio.
That must be Kelly's like that too. She hates Ohio. She'll like go, we'll visit her family. And she's and like, after a day, she's like, I have to get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
She's
absolutely.
Like, she's like, one day.
Oh my God. Long. I've told this story a million times probably on this podcast, but my best friend got married and made me go back to Ohio for her wedding. She and her husband live in California. So like they could have had it anywhere. Okay. But it was in Ohio.
Ohio or California.
They were like, let's get married in Akron. So we go,
I didn't choose Tennessee over Scotland to be fair.
So we go,
I know.
We go back, you know, and we're driving around and her husband is getting all nostalgic and everything. And it's just the three of us, and I'm in the back seat
about this state.
And he goes, let's go around and say what we miss or no, what we like most about Ohio. Let's all go around and say what we like most about Ohio. And I just kind of put my head down and she
you
looks
say,
at
like,
me
leaving it or something.
Ronalee goes, yeah. Ronalee looks at me and then she looks at him and she goes, Christy's trying to come up with anything other than leaving it. I said, that was exactly the thought that was going through my head.
I'm actually, in fairness, I've never been. So don't. I can't actually say anything.
Look, just, you know what? We have listeners and followers in Ohio, and we're sorry that you live there.
I know, and we do actually. We
Marvin,
do.
Marvin,
Marvin, you. Marvin.
We love you.
But really Ohio. Do, but you know the kids now will Nick, by the way, also teaches
you,
young people.
Yeah, you teach the young people.
And they say, I'm told by the less than younger people, but still young people in my head, that they say Ohio in reference to things that are like not cool. Like that's so Ohio.
I think like that's kind of been falling out with high schoolers. I think that's kind of been relegated to middle schoolers now.
Oh, okay.
But I think I heard it more 3 years ago. And so over the past 3 years, it's sort of, you know,
they
that's
just
what middle
kept
schoolers
it.
Say now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you know the other day I said,
we're not cool anymore.
I said 6'7" in class accidentally. And they all got very excited. I was like, oh my God, I made it.
Yeah, we were reading in our textbook. It was like the first day back from the semester for spring. And I was like, all right. They were like, where's the story? And someone was baiting me. And I was like, yeah, it's on page 6 and 7. And like the whole class was like,
yeah. I would give them, right. I was like, I'll give you a few minutes, like 6-7 minutes. And they were all like, oh, and I was like, you didn't even do it on purpose.
Yeah, I think because I teach when I'm not doing people that are older than me, I teach mostly Gen Z, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like the
Yeah.
They're in their 20s, right?
They're in their 20s, right?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
So they're not, but they don't say that. They don't really have those sayings. I think that's more of an alpha thing. Like
I think it's true.
That's what my students have told me too.
I think like millennials had such a wide gap, like it's such a wide range. And I think Gen Z is kind of similar. And yeah. I don't know how Alpha is going to pan out, but I think that there's some Zs that are like Zillennials or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're elder. Christy and I are.
Yeah. You and I are elder millennials. Where do you fall?
We're almost Gen X, but we're
are
like,
you
not
even a millennial, Nick?
I think I'm like right in between. Cause I'm 33. So
he's
I think
the same
like,
age as Taylor.
Oh
yeah,
my
so I think Taylor we Thomas. Might be like on the tail. We might be on the tail end, honestly.
Okay. Okay.
So I think
yeah. y'all are like know. What 92 or something? 90.
I'm 93.
93. Mm. Yeah. Math is hard.
I don't believe in math. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fake.
I do it as little as I can. That was that was my contribution for the week. Was doing that. Yeah, no, that's, I think, because I'm 82, which I was talking to a friend of the podcast, Christian from Systematic Geekology, and he was like, I'm 90 something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so old.
I know.
But I don't know what happened. Like, we always say that. We're always like, I feel so old. But like, we were born in the 80s. Like, that's like ancient now.
One of my students said something like disparaging, like, I'm not born in the 1900s. And I was like, whoa.
Well, working at the bar, every time you saw the year shift.
Yeah.
Or not year, but the days shift. And because it would say, this is what the ID has to say, which is very helpful for people like me. And it was like 2000 and whatever. And I would, as the two, I was like, I can't.
Yeah, like, it's weird, dude. Like, well, I'm not. I mean, the 80s is my favorite era, but I teach a film as literature class, and we just did like a coming of age story section. And so yeah. I did Back to the Future. But, you know, talking about, because obviously, like growing up, talking about Back to the Future was like 20 years ago, you know? And so, like, I go for the 20, like 25 years ago, and then to say like 40 years ago.
40 years
ago. Damn, dude, yeah. I can't.
I know. I know. It's
also Christy and I are aging like a fine wine over here.
So true.
Speaking of,
say,
Nick,
like, yeah.
Thank you for choosing wine for our drink tonight.
Indeed, that was a dude. You like how I segued there?
Guys? Yeah, such a good job. That
only an ex-annual could do that.
We always let our guests pick the drink, and we always appreciate it when our guests pick wine because.
I have become a wine girly over the past couple years. Like, oh, and you've got a Casa Bonita mug. Oh my!
It's God, actually man. A Casa Bonito mug.
Oh, okay. It still counts though.
Well, because it's one of the players on the Denver Broncos. Last name is Benito, and we all gave him the nickname. And then they showed him a picture of Casa Bonita, and he goes, "Oh, that's my house." So it's
that's
a whole
so cool.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm just gonna leave for. Like,
sorry, the
minute.
South Park. You know, the South Park.
The Casa Bonita is the greatest place in the world.
You get Christy talking about Colorado. It's
gonna
it's over. Over. This podcast is over.
But you
we can't edit it. So.
You became a wine girly, Nick.
Yeah, I went you to are, Italy oh, yeah. two years ago. Last year? No, that's why I was on because I was out. No, yeah, 2 years ago, and so I was not a big wine person. I would drink, and of course you're in Italy, so it's like. You have to.
You have to. Well, it's cheap.
It's required. And I had all the wine and just have not stopped ever since. Yeah. So I honestly go for wine more than beer these days. And I've actually kind of disappointed Kelly. And she's like, will you stop? Like, that was mine. And now you're like into wine now.
She's
please
like,
stop.
You're drinking my wine and that's not okay. I mean, welcome. It's a happier side over here, the wine side.
Yeah. Nice. Wine drunk is also a
wine
lot nicer than beer drunk.
Yeah.
It's
if you go
so
to,
much better.
We literally had a video that we were circulating today that we have up on our Instagram of me and Christy wine drunk with our friend Will Rose. And we were having, that was at like
a great time.
3 a.m. or
it
something.
It was at 3 a.m.
So
yeah.
We were and having a really great time.
I'm so glad that there's wine at beer camp now. You, speaking of beer camp, you did not come this year because you're going where?
I'm going to Ireland.
You're going to Ireland.
Less than 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
So wait, you're not coming
to Kansas City, or you didn't come to? I know you didn't.
I didn't come this past year because of Ireland, but I'll be able to come in October
to Kansas City.
And my parents live there, so it makes it easier because I'll have some free lodging.
So you were all crashing at your parents' house.
I hear what this.
You don't want to. I'm telling you, you don't want to. They have barn animals in their house. Sorry, mom and dad, if you hear this.
You should have seen my face of happy. Christy and I,
have barn animals in their house. Please,
barn animals. Which style?
Yeah, what flavor of barn animal?
They're goats. They have goats.
They have goats?
They are cute. You're goats.
Definitely coming to your house.
You can come. My parents will love my parents, especially my mom. You guys would love my mom. She loves everybody. If I invited
you really well with camp, parents.
Yeah.
They would love you.
Goats. I love them.
Yeah. Okay. They got little tiny ones. They got big ones. They got mommy goats.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting.
Maybe I can talk to Tripp about having a little field trip. Because my parents have 20 acres or something like that. Oh, so, God.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that sounds amazing if it wasn't in the middle, but otherwise, I'm in. Like, I have to touch an ocean. So my state has to touch an ocean. I have to be able to get to the beach. But otherwise, I'm in. And
I'm excited about this.
Christy and I both got so excited when you said, I like that you thought you were really like.
We're like, there are barn animals.
So, like, you don't want to, and you guys
are like, yes.
I grew up on a farm, so we can have them in the house. Well, sometimes I guess they got in the house, but yeah. So we're big. Christy's a vegetarian. I'm not, but there's that. She loves live in a house of 75 animals, it feels like.
Yeah, Leah has a zoo. It's fine. Leah, you had a planned topic for us today. Do you want to tell? No. Okay.
I've been teaching today. I don't want to do any. I don't want to. Why can't you just drink wine and just exist?
We will just continue to talk about goats, though, because truly, I tried for my whole childhood to get a goat. I kept being
really?
Yeah.
Just specifically a goat?
Yeah, I wanted a goat really badly.
Okay. Is there like a... Did you watch a goat show?
Well, we would go to a lot of like 4-H fairs and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I would just constantly, it was like, but look at how cute they are. And my dad.
Were you in 4-H? I was in 4-H.
I wasn't in it.
Were you in 4-H?
No, I was such a city boy, dude. That's awesome.
I was at your house. Oh, did you not grow up there? I'm always confused about where Nick is from. Because Nick
sounds
like
I'm from Florida.
Oh,
where do I sound like I'm from?
That.
No, say it. Where do you think I sound like I'm from?
Tennessee.
Oh, that's, yeah. I've been here for...
That's like a compliment, though, because 15. Let's be real.
I love Tennessee more than Florida. Like, I miss the beach. That's the only thing.
What part of Florida?
I lived in, right near Sarasota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very close to where I am, yeah.
Wait, where are you at?
St. Pete.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love Tampa. There's a big hardcore punk scene there that's very vibrant.
Yeah.
I wasn't super into that part of the scene. So anyway, but yeah, South Florida, I was a beach bum, but I've been in Tennessee for 14 years and I won't go back.
Tennessee for 14 years.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. People at work made fun of me because like it came out and I've never had this happen before. And I said, why don't you all come in here now? And someone was like, all right, dude, you freaking, what the hell's wrong with you? And I was like, it's never happened to me before.
Amazing.
Yeah, you don't have the pronunciation, but you have the cadence, like the sort of like the lazy like cadence. Although when you said what I just repeated to you, you had the pronunciation. So that goes in and out, but it's definitely the like the sing-songy cadence, which I would say is great, because we oftentimes get told that we have the sexiest accent in the United
States. It's true. So. Isn't it like the second or third or something like that?
In the United States, we're usually one, but we get up there in the world, yeah. I don't think we can beat out the Irish, though. They got that on lock.
No, Irish are sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got it on lock.
It's a good one.
Christy's accent, Colorado doesn't make it at all. And that's so sad.
Because it's so boring.
It's like literally the most normal, it's the most American accent.
Common American accent.
No, I told you, I think I told everybody ever. That Stuart is like one of these people because he's an introvert. I'm like, really play up the Scottishness. Like, come on, dude. Like, you can get stuff. But he doesn't like being he doesn't like being the center of attention. And so he starts to assimilate into like whatever. So now he started having like kind of a Southern accent, and it's really starting to bother me. And I think maybe I should trade him in.
It's weird because it's not, it's like a weird Southern Scottish mixture. And it's just,
I want to hear it.
Like the weird, it's weird. Cause you're just like, what is,
he'll say things, but then it'll
like part of the sentence is extremely Scottish. And then part of the sentence is like a Southern thing. And you're just like, what just
happened? And he still uses like British phrases, like Ben and like
he'll still say, yeah, he uses British words occasionally with a Southern accent. It's very,
he said schedule the other day, but he said it in a Southern accent. And I was like,
schedule.
He was like, schedule. And I was like, no one is going to, they're going to be very confused from speaking the beginning of on this one.
British words, I said without, like, you know, if you're
out with,
that's it. I was like, if you're like out with, and mm-hmm. and my students are just staring at me, and I was like, what is the right word? Outside.
It does happen. I didn't pick up the accent clearly.
No, but I picked up some words.
But the words I will, and my friend Helen, I was there 11 years, but my friend Helen, she always says, because I did our friend's wedding recently, and I said, I can't do it now.
Word. It's when we're with Helen, the words just start coming out, and she's like,
Owen.
One. Wait, which word?
Phone.
Phone.
Oh, phone. Wait, say phone, phone again.
It's like,
I can't do it now that I'm thinking about it, but it's phone.
Who said? Yeah. Wait, which accent is that?
But you have to like say it quicker than we're saying it right now.
Oh, I see.
It's a Scottish way of saying it. Apparently, in my married talk, I said something about a phone.
You put either of us near Helen, who has super Scottish accent, and
hers is crazy. That's
weird.
Because y'all both lived and worked in Glasgow, right? Or I'm sorry, Edinburgh.
No. So Leah went to Edinburgh and then worked at Edinburgh and it worked at Glasgow. I went to Glasgow. So I was I was at Glasgow the whole time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
we're both in Scotland.
Yeah, and we overlapped, but we didn't know each other when we were there.
So I went to Edinburgh from 2007 to 2011 for my PhD, and then I got a postdoc at Glasgow from 2009 to 2015. But Christy wasn't there yet, My supervisor retired, and I took her job 2015 to 2018 at Edinburgh.
And then I moved to Glasgow in 2017.
So we kind of switch coasts there. We had the same friends.
Which is how we met.
Yeah. It's just that I left before you really dug into yourself.
You called me replacement Leah for 2 years. So
correct. I expect that to fully happen if I don't show up to something and Krista does.
You were like, replacement Leah. And I was like, who is this bitch?
I'm that bitch.
There's actually a big Tolkien center now in the University of Glasgow. So there's a lot of, like, if you want to be a prestigious Tolkien scholar, you go to Glasgow now.
Yep.
You were starting to build that when I left, fantasy. I guess it's not sci-fi really, it's just fantasy.
There's a whole fantasy.
Did you ever meet Dimitra Femi? Did you ever meet her?
Yeah, I did. She did a friend of mine's I can't remember if she was his supervisor or if he just worked with her, but and so I like through him.
Because Christy does lit as well, so she would I do more politics, so she would have been very much in that room.
I went to a lot of those. They would have like fantasy conferences at Glasgow, and because I had so many friends in that, I would go to like support them. I am not a fantasy scholar, so like I was just there to be like, "Yay, you!"
Sure, so, you are.
I need to read your book. I've got it on my to read list, Christy.
Yeah,
the Distorted get on that. Image, right?
Wounded Image, yeah.
Wounded Image, sorry.
Yeah.
I need to read it because I feel like there's some things within, because I do a lot of Tolkien and theology stuff, but because I know that you engage Catherine Keller, and I know there's some other stuff that you do, I feel like it'd be really relevant to a lot of the stuff that I'm doing.
Catherine Keller, Christy? I'm sorry. Were you on a panel with Catherine Keller at some point? Was that AAR?
You know, it was at Beer Camp. It was Beer Camp in Denver. It was Ilya Delio and me and Catherine Keller. And Tripp, in the middle of it, was like, "I'm going to have you ask Catherine Keller whatever questions you want to ask her." And I was like, "That's not how I operate, Tripp. Like, I could have used some forewarning."
And then Leah ran out on stage and said, "I'll ask some questions I don't know anything about." I was on another.
It was a nice panel, though. Yeah,
it was. An all-star panel there.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it. But yeah, and I have friends who do Tolkien stuff as well.
Hell yeah!
That are still over there, so I'm familiar.
They had a very robust English department, even like with Vasiliki and Patty and all of that. Whenever I was there, it was solid. So I'm not.
Yeah, I think Vasiliki is still there. We're just throwing out names now, but it's a really good department, honestly. So
that's rad.
Vasiliki is the most terrified I've. She's a female scholar of English lit, and she's the most terrifying person that I've ever encountered over wine. Like she scared me, and I just was like, "Oh my gosh!" And it wasn't even. It wasn't that I knew her work. It's a good question. I think I was scared because I get intimidated when someone I know is good at something doesn't give a shit about me as a human.
I think
if you really want to get me, just like. It'd be like if, like, you were, like, this, like, a soccer player. I don't know. Fill in the blank. You're just really amazing at something. And you rock up and you're just like, whatever. I don't care what you say. Then I'm like, oh, God. And so she had both of those things, which I knew she was really amazing. And then she just didn't give a shit.
You were like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. And she just, like, death stare you.
100%. Like, and it's not just guys, it's girls too. I just was like, it's when I feel like I don't have anything to contribute, like at all, like not a single thing, not even like a fun, like being funny, then that's how you would really set me on fire and let me go. But then later we became really good friends because she was like, "You know, I've liked you this whole time." And I was like, "No,
there's a Jewish
scholar. I'll marry you tomorrow, but no."
There's a Jewish scholar at Glasgow who did the same thing. Like, she's a lovely person. But my first meeting of her was during, we had to do these annual progress reviews every year on our dissertation. And they bring in like a different professor to do them with. And so she did it for me one year. And it was it was worse than my viva, my actual defense that I did. It was worse than that. And
she's one of my best friends. She was in my wedding.
She eviscerated me. And it was like good and it was necessary. But like, this woman is terrifying. And then the next time I saw her was when Leah came to visit and we did this wine night. And like Mia came and I was the whole first hour of it probably. I was just, she was sitting right like one person over from me. And I was just like, "Oh my God, I'm so scared right now." And then she's very nice and lovely and it was fine. But
she's serious though. And there's a difference. Like, I mean, I think that's too, I'm like that with not my undergraduates because they're, but not that I don't care about them, but me being like fierce to them is not going to like,
yeah,
affect them one way or the other. They're still going to major in STEM. So, but the, my postgrads that are like doing doctorates and stuff, I'm a little bit like that. And then once they graduate, then it's fine.
No, that's badass, dude. I think I've heard that come out. I think when you did the live event with Tom Ward with Trip, I heard that come out and I was like, dude, Leah is kicking ass right now. And I feel like Tom was taking it in stride. Like he, you know, but I feel like Trip was like kind of felt awkward sometimes. Like it was so funny.
I'm sure he did. Well, because I think Trip likes us both, and so to have us both there, I think was
divided loyalties.
But like, I do think, I mean, Tom and I agree on about 2% of things, right. And so like, but also, I think Tom's a lovely person. We were drinking, and well, not we were drinking. Let me be clear. I was drinking. He does not. But we were hanging out and stuff before. But like. I think also, you got to know, this is how theologians talk to each other. Like when we don't agree. Now, how you talk to one another is different. Like how you learn. And that actually feeds into what, yes, I do have a topic today, but it does feed into the topic at hand, which is it's how you learn how to do that. And also it's different based on your gender, because I know like as a female academic, I had to approach things a little louder. Then perhaps some of my male colleagues, and had to, you know, at times remind them that the oppression that they feel is something that has been on other people for their whole existence. So, you know, that exists. But so the topic today that we were talking about leads into that, which is this idea of why people have to, because Nick has recently written a paper, which I did take a screenshot of the title. Nick, you probably know it before I can bring this picture up. A critical response to Between Mount Doom and the Wall of Likes. And he wrote that, and it got me thinking too, because I said, this is good. I enjoyed it. That there's interesting things here. And it was really about this idea of what I would say in quotations, the right interpretation of certain things that people hold really tight to. And how it can become almost this evangelical defense of one's own interpretation of such things, which I think you put out very clearly and very well. I write about that too in terms of the Bible. And then I also started talking about Wuthering Heights and Christy, and I had some discussion because I was like, you know, I liked it. Like, I mean, get me some smut and I'm on board. But like also, I read the book when I was in high school, and I know that this is not what the book is about, but I don't care about that. But some people care very much, and you're seeing that on the internet. And so I thought it would be interesting to bring that conversation to the podcast about, cause I wrote Bad Theology about, you know, right interpretations of things too, and how we see that. And I think it's interesting too, the fact that people can't see that they are being those people while they're being it. Now, I did write a book called Bad Theology, so I'm making a stance here, but I also know that I'm doing it. And I think some people think this is it. Like I have the definitive, you know, understanding of that. And Christy, of course, does literature. So this is literature and theology. So you've got both worlds there.
I know. I'm excited.
As just a kind of, for everybody, could you just tell us a little bit, like the thesis of your paper, like explain it a little bit for all of our listeners, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up, and thanks for the compliment. It's it feels good that y'all are here and give me good feedback.
It is good. Leah sent it to me and I was like, yes.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So there was this article that came out there's a bulletin within a organization called the Tolkien Society. It's been around since the 60s. And so it does a bunch of fan and academic work related to J.R.R. Tolkien. And so some PhD students who are more conservative, which is fine, came out with an article, and they said that basically the reason why civilization, quote unquote, Western civilization is collapsing is partially because people are misinterpreting Tolkien. And the person who started that was Peter Jackson in making the movies. And they eliminated all of the Christian elements within Tolkien's works. And, you know, if people just got back to Christianity and reading the Western canon, then everything would, you know, people would stop fighting. People would start being virtuous again, et cetera, et cetera.
They really figured that out.
They really did. Christians.
Good to know some PhD students have done it. We couldn't do it.
Good.
Yeah, Christians have never, ever, you know, oppressed anybody, killed anybody. No, nothing. Yeah.
Oh, never had infighting. None of that.
I did my field work in Northern Ireland, so it would make a difference.
Never use the Bible to justify ethnicism slavery. And racism. Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
But then they blame people. So then they're like, hey, people, the part of this too is that it's internet people's fault. And these people had their heyday. They grew up, you know, with the internet rising in the 90s and early 2000s. And they were like, but by the way, this isn't nostalgia. This is just pure logic and, you know, pure objective assessment of what's going on in the world right now in the digital landscape. My response to that was, listen, there are some points that you made that I agree with. There are some things in this world that aren't messed up. The digital landscape does look bad, but the issue is not with the religious and interpretive lens of a particular author, namely J.R.R. Tolkien, and it's probably more to do with the economic functions of the big tech economy, as well as the way that Christianity has fed into that, and now that big tech people are using Christianity in alliance with far-right politics. I don't get into the far-right politics as much. I kind of keep it big tech because I wanted to get it published and people get real mad and stuff. But yeah. Anyway, I was like, hey, good argument. There's some things that are messed up in our culture. Stop blaming random people on the internet for systemic issues that are actually rooted in Christianity and capitalism and big tech. Yeah.
And meanwhile, Peter Jackson's just like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And what am I going to do that these kids wrote this about me?
It is wild to me that they're like, Peter Jackson is the cause of misinterpreting Tolkien. Because like, if anyone has put some very serious work into making sure he did a good job adapting.
Well, and it's weird because that statement is so out of touch with like current fandom right now. So because the Rings of Power TV show has come out and there's lots of hot takes about that. And so when it came out, and most of them are political, you know, far right fans, and were mad that black people were in Middle Earth. And so they were like, Peter Jackson was the only one who got it right, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so to see this person be like, yeah, it all started with Peter Jackson was just weird. Both of them are wrong, by the way, both the people who are like, now here's the thing. I don't like parts of Rings of Power. But I'm not somebody who's going to claim that I'm the right person or interpret everything correctly.
Yeah.
There's people who love the show and I'm like, that's fantastic. Get into Tolkien, love the show. Here's the reasons why I don't like it, but here's some things that I do like, you know.
Yeah. I feel like kind of in my understanding too is that like what somebody is trying to do is say like, here's proof. Here's a text that is proof of our particular beliefs, you know, and this is where, because I know you used Bad Theology in your paper as well, kind of talking about these ideas and stuff. And I think that's where I don't care if an adaptation or an interpretation of a book is exact, right? Like my favorite movie adaptation is She's the Man, which is an adaptation of The Twelfth Night, and it's starring Amanda Bynes and Channing Tatum.
It's a classic.
It's we know why she,
I mean,
your hot ones gave you away as to why.
Obviously, Channing
Tatum. How you managed to put Thomas Aquinas and Channing Tatum in the same sentence, and I'm just going to leave that there.
Look, it's my own brilliance and obsession, but like, it's fine if you're like, here's a text. I want to do this other thing, right? I want to interpret it in this way. I want to use this as an inspiration for this other thing. But it's when it's saying like, this text proves my ideology. I think that's really a big problem. Or when you're like, I'm going to use this text in oppressive ways, which obviously,
like, what if it's a sacred text too? Oh God.
Yeah. Like whatever text it is, like if it's, yeah, I'm going to use the Bible to prove that slavery is okay. Or if it's, I'm going to use, you know, Romeo and Juliet to prove that it's okay to sleep with 13-year-olds. Like neither of these things are doing that. Firstly, like that's a bad interpretation of both texts, but it's that
Penelope.
He's mad about it too.
Release the Epstein files.
She's like, start arresting people. We have to put them in jail. Yes.
Free Britney.
Free Britney. Yeah. So yeah, that's where I feel like I have not seen Wuthering Heights, so I'm not making any comment like specifically about it. I think there's discussion to be had about why the director made the choices she did, but like, it's not necessarily gonna do anything to, like, people aren't gonna be like, well, now we can believe in oppression because we have this ridiculous adaptation of Wuthering Heights. But
I don't think it hurts anybody, and I think that's the main thing, is like, I mean, you could dig into it, I suppose, and say, well, you know, they have a toxic relationship for sure, and like, there's terrible. some intense cheating going on and whatever, but like,
it's a little bit of necrophilia, it's fine.
Well, that doesn't make it into the movie, Christy, because you've not seen the movie. He doesn't dig her ass up. So he just kind of lays weirdly on the bed beside her for a minute. But it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
And they do, there is a lot of maybe BDSM stuff. But you know what? We support all lifestyles here and whatever you want to do, as long as everyone is consenting. And everyone knows what's going on. But I think you're quite right, is like, when it starts to, like, because like, Nick, when you're talking about Tolkien, you're talking about something that is sort of, in a way, using something that didn't intend to be a self-justification for, I mean, it sounds like, and I'm not going to say far right, I don't want to put them in that corner, but like, at the very least, evangelicalism.
Yeah. They might be more like the cult. They might be Catholic too, which I'm not sure, but they're that weird. They're just that cultural Catholicism, Christianity, Western culture thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I don't, you know, far more about Tolkien than I do, clearly, but like, it's when we start to appropriate that into these spaces where we're using it as our kind of, our mountain to stand upon to scream our own message, you know. And I think that's when I read your article, I thought about that. I was like, you know, how dare? I just kept thinking, how dare, you know?
Well, and I love what you said about like kind of yelling your own message, because like, what, no matter what the topic is, whether it's as serious as like political action to metaphysical ontology to just kind of like what an adaptation should have, is that like, ultimately, if you strip down all the layers of all the like the logical arguments, at the end of the day, you're going to come back to you and what decision you're going to make, right? And so like, I've had this argument with people about politics and religion where I'm like, they're like, well, you're just biased. And I'm like, correct. and I'm making a stance here, and like ultimately this is going to inform what I say, and I'm going to miss some things, and I'm going to try to readjust as I go. Mm-hmm. Just know that you are in the same boat, and people are like, absolutely not, right? Yeah. And so it kind of, for some reason, that thinking, and this comes with text too, within the Tolkien world, people just can't comprehend when they point at you and they say you're biased, and you go, yes. And then you make that argument. Their brains just like break for some reason.
Yeah.
And
because,
well, yeah,
I think we're told a lot to
definitive answer.
Like we're supposed to remove our bias, or there's some kind of standard of like, I have an unbiased opinion, and nobody has that. That's not a possible thing. You are always, in every conversation you have, coming from a bias. But if you know that and you've examined it and you're like, I know what my bias is and I feel correct in it or comfortable with it, you know, like I've done the work to see like, is this a good bias or a bad bias? Like, for instance, I think to come back to Wuthering Heights just for a second, like growing up,
put it in quotations, she should have changed the name, but she did
the name. I think she would have been changed, but
I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to write Church Dog Baddocks, but I'm just going to put it in quotation. Lord of the Rings is my name.
Lord of the Rings, Church Dog Baddocks.
I just want to know what Carl Barth's reaction would have been if he had read the book and then seen the movie. That's all.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He would have.
I think that everyone on that. One of the arguments that, or one of the discussions I've heard that I do agree with about it is that she used a white man to portray Heathcliff, who's now. One of the things that she talked about in her interview is that she was making it for her 14-year-old self or whatever. And when I was growing up, very white communities, I'm from Colorado Springs, it's not a very diverse city.
No.
And so like, yeah, my initial bias was always to picture white people. Like if you didn't really explicitly say something, I was naive and I had a very white-centered bias, right? And so perhaps if I had read Wuthering Heights in that phase, I also would have just assumed he had a tan or something.
But you don't really know where he's from, right? Like, you know that he's
got Indian descent. And they
Jacob actually, I read, is his parents are like from Spain, or one of his parents are from Spain. I didn't realize.
Well, but it's actually like a kind of a big plot point in the book that he is.
No, I read it. I remember it being part of the reason why she can't be with them.
And there's like racial oppression and stuff, which again, as a person now who understands the ways that racism works and the ways that especially racism in that century in England would have worked, like it is important to demonstrate that he's not white. Unless I understand.
Don't let me telling Christy, we forget that we're not just talking on the phone. I was telling Christy about that as a, ooh, did you know that? Not a, oh, he should now as a person of color. That is not what I'm saying.
But I think that like, if you were saying like,
adds to it.
Like Christy, when you were 14 and you read this book, did you also think that he was just a white guy with a tan? Probably I did. The problem is like now as an adult, I can examine that and I can say like my bias would have told me that that's true of him, but that was incorrect and I need to re-understand things. And I think that's what we want people to do with bias, is not to say like I don't have a bias or this is a completely unbiased opinion. I want you to say, I know what my bias is. I've examined it and I'm comfortable sitting in that. When I have this interpretation, does that make sense? It does
make sense. And I've been teaching a class called The Many Faces of Jesus, and it's also a media class. It's a PG class, a postgraduate class. So we've been watching a lot of movies, and it's really interesting because we've been following certain characters to see how they're portrayed, like Jesus Christ Superstar, Mary Magdalene, like the Life of Brian, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's interesting because there's a lot of bias. We had Mary Magdalene this week, and then we had The Colors of the Cross, which actually was a film, very low budget film, that portrayed Jesus as basically a black man. And it's a very key plot point in this whole film. But Mary Magdalene moves from being this very central heroic figure of feminist, my feminist week, to this week being, is having sex with Judas, which for reasons, unbeknownst to anybody, okay. But you know, so,
yeah.
So I do wonder, like, at what stage do we, and I'll keep watching Jesus films at the stage end, but I will say these characters fluctuate. At what stage are the adaptations too much, I guess? Or at what stage do we just have to quit calling it the name of the book? Like, because if she called it like Two Hot People,
almost anything else, people would have been
Two
like
Hot People in the Yorkshire Moors, we would have been like, oh, okay, well,
yeah, that's like great, that's exciting. I can see how it's inspired.
Is it just the name then? Is it just the name? So like if I do an adaptation of Lord of the Rings, but I call it, you know, a bunch of white dudes walking, which basically is the story of Jesus anyway. I could do a Jesus, not a bunch of white dudes walking, except they wouldn't be white, but a bunch of dudes walking.
Sorry, continue. Yeah.
No, I'm adjusting myself here since we don't have edits. A bunch of dudes walking, which is the new name of my Jesus adaptation and my new Tolkien film on Lord of the Rings.
It's a bunch of dudes.
A bunch of dudes walking. Do you think the people who are in your world, do you think they would react the way that people react to Wuthering Heights? Would they just throw a manuscript into the fire, or would just be like, okay, well, that's not Lord of the Rings? So like,
oh yeah, big time. People are saying that about Rings of Power right now.
Yeah,
where they're like, it's just fan fiction with a Lord of the Rings name on it. And there are parts of it which are like true. But, you know, they use fan fiction as like an insult. And I really don't think it's an insult, because I think that sometimes, like, even though it might be not Wuthering Heights or the name, there's obviously someone has taken the time to invest in those stories and then critically engage with them. And so I'm probably, and for me, I recognize about myself, I'm a lot more open to very loose interpretations of text and still calling it, you know, whatever it's called. With also recognizing that, like, and I think that most of us here too, or I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think like, it's also not the
dismissal of, I'm wrong, incorrect.
but like, I think we would all say that there is fact, there is truth, even if we can't, if we're not able to fully unpack what these facts and truths are. Like, I teach Lord of the Flies for my class, for my high school every year. And if it would probably be incorrect to say that is a feminist text. I don't think so.
That's not right.
We recently read that for our BAM book group, and we had forgotten not a feminist text.
Not a feminist text, but there are feminist readings of that book.
Right.
And I think if, you know, if you said like, oh, there's actually some things in there that show like the negative, the toxic masculine elements Absolutely. Are in there and explored. And so you could say that there is a sprinkle of feminist sort of underpinnings there, but to say that it's a feminist text is wrong. But if someone were to do like a feminist reinterpretation of Lord of the Flies, it would look probably a lot different. And people who are more in the Western canon thing would be like, well, we just need to enjoy art for what it is.
They did. It's called Yellow Jackets.
It's called what?
Yellow Jackets, if you've seen that.
No, I haven't. No.
I haven't seen it either, but I keep hearing, it's
exactly what you just said. Yeah. It's a feminist retelling of Lord of the Flies, basically. Ooh,
I'm going to have to find
They're a soccer team, and their plane crashes.
My Brit Lit professor used to say, especially with literature, that there are a lot of correct interpretations, and like there are a lot of ways that you can interpret And he would always use the Little Mermaid. There are a lot of ways you can interpret the Little Mermaid, but it's never about aliens. Like,
right.
There is something that would be incorrect. You know, like, you can do a lot of stuff with a lot of stuff, right? But there is a step too far, or there is something that's like just blatantly not in there, right? Like,
but are mermaids actually extraterrestrials? they're outside of the terrestrial.
I mean, what are they called? There's an African tribe that mermaids are aliens.
I mean, if I had known this.
I feel like this is like a challenge that we could do. Just get your English professors to
Tom, if you're listening, turns out it is about aliens.
Go find your professor and tell him that his whole life is worth nothing because we figured it out.
I'm absolutely going to tell that
retired English professor.
But like it is something to think about, is like you can do a lot and you can interpret text in a myriad of ways. I think it comes a lot to, you know, the motivation or like maybe lack of introspection when we start to interpret stuff in a way that ends up being harmful, you know?
Well, that's the reflection, but I think that was the issue with your stuff, Nick, is it just felt like they just were like I spend a whole chapter of Bad Theology being like, I could be wrong. But this is where I'm coming from. And this is my position. And I'm, you know, this person or whatever. And it just felt like, and I didn't read the OG article because I think it was behind a paywall or something, but I read bits of it anyway.
I figured out a way.
But I think that's the thing, is that they just didn't seem to have any reflection that this was not the way, you know, to look at it. And I think that's really key. What Christy's saying is, at least the director of Wuthering Heights had some wherewithal to put quotations in it. But like, these people are just like, this is, and also to state something so incredibly like just generalized, which you will always see. Nick and Christy and I are in a group chat, and it's my teacher comes out whenever someone says a big generalized statement. I'll say, there's a little bit we could, let's parse this out, let's nuance this a little bit. A big statement like what, that the downfall of humanity is based on Tolkien not being interpreted, like that's a look, even for a PhD,
wild thing to say, like,
reel this back in, like, you know. So
I know that those movies were like a real cultural phenomenon, but I don't feel like they have that much power.
I think going via the economics route of criticism, I think is quite right. I think politics, you could also argue that. I mean, you could certainly argue culture, but like, again, this is very geographically specific, and I know I annoy some people with my context stuff, and I don't care, but it is contextual, which is that, were these PhD students in the UK? Were they in the US? I mean, that does make a difference. Were they in Uganda? This makes a difference.
I think they're in Central or South America, maybe.
And that makes a difference.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think part of it too is like you were talking about with that chat, with the like talking about how you could be wrong, is that I think people think that when they write their critiques or whatever they're writing, or that they're immune to the negative aspects of it. And I even tried to at the end, where they talked about how when people post online, they are, you know, the reason why Tolkien internet fandom has gone wrong is because everyone wants clicks and likes, and they just want attention. And it's like, yeah, because it's built into it, right? That's like,
yeah,
why we post. And so I even admitted, I said, part of the logic, I would be lying if I didn't say that I wanted people to read this response, because it is such a kind of hot take and it's a hot debate right now.
Yeah.
But my intention is to really just have a critical response because the essay I thought was just bad. But ultimately, if I were to say, oh, no, I'm not looking for likes and responses, like, obviously that's a lie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and your corner of the world is, like, Christy wrote her PhD on Jean Rhys, which is amazing, and I've read it several times, I think, at this stage. I now know about Jean Rhys more than I ever did. However, if you're writing a PhD on Tolkien, like, that, you know, that's something that is, there are hot authors, I guess.
Every time I tell somebody that I did mine on Jean Rhys, they go, oh, I've never heard of her.
Yeah.
My other
friend did her PhD. I'm used to. She did her PhD at Indiana on the Bronte sisters. So we're not going to talk to her about Wuthering Heights. But that's still, I think, quite
that
a
makes
hot.
Makes more sense why you have hard. Sorry, this is like because Leah told me that you had strong feelings about it, but I didn't know you did your PhD on the Bronte sisters.
No. I have a friend who did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I have another friend. She's a professor friend, but I'm not going to talk to. Christy did hers on Jean Rhys.
Okay, like, that's right. That's what where the wounded image comes from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, this other friend, I am not. I didn't even like. Bring up. It's like I don't think if I had you on a panel that I'd be like, hey Nick, let's go see whatever new version of the Tolkien movie they're going to come out with, because I feel like you couldn't. It would be like me going to church. I'm the worst person to take to church because I just sit there and I'm like, this is not right, this is not accurate, this is not how it's supposed to go, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that would be like taking you to a Tolkien movie, and that's why I don't engage with her with Wuthering Heights, because she would just be mumbling the whole time, and I'd be like, he just put her, did you see the fingers in the shush girl,
we are here for a different reason.
go sit in the back and you can take the
six
host.
Five.
Christy makes fun of me so bad.
it's funny because like I love the Brontes. Emily is my least favorite. So like this is not.
I feel like women go and I'm gonna say women, and I mean women is the women scholars I know that love the Brontes are feral though.
I do. I love Jane Eyre. I have a Jane Eyre tattoo, which a Jane Eyre scholar yelled at me about, like. What wow. She was not thrilled with my tattoo. I was like, oh, well.
I don't think I've heard this through. Why didn't she like your, what
it's
is
a,
it?
It's a long story and it's not.
We'll tell it after we cut.
I have a collection. Like I have multiple copies of Jane Eyre. I have, you know, like.
Do you need more than.
Mostly. One? Yeah, I do. I need all of them. But mostly, I love Charlotte and Anne. Emily is, it was just too much. I was like, girl, get a therapist.
I kind of like her. I am into her. I'm like, I have found my aesthetic, which is Gothic Victorian
literature. If you move me into like Mary Shelley, Anne Radcliffe, like get into like the really heavy Gothic period of English literature, happy. I just, Emily Bronte was just never my thing. That said,
what happened to those women?
The first time I saw that preview, I was like, I can't, this is not going to be a good time.
Did you go see it? You never went to go see it?
No.
Are you going to see it?
It's going to be one of those situations where I just sit there being like, no.
Are you going to be the mumble person that I have to send to the person?
Yeah. So yeah. I've chosen to just let that lie elsewhere.
You and my friend Bonnie can go to the back and just
we can go to the back and hate watch it together.
Just hate watch it. Just absolutely hate watch it. I'll be up there just bucket.
But I have friends who do this with Tolkien stuff because they're like really intensely into it, and they'll be like, you know, here's what I like, here's what I don't like.
I'm like the opposite. Like I'm such a weirdo where like I really am so loose, like with Rings of Power. It's the only reason why I don't like some things is literally just by its own thing. I don't really care about like what's the word I'm looking for?
What?
I don't know, just accuracy, I guess. Yeah. Accuracy. Oh. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
that's so nice. I feel like I would be like that if somebody did an adaptation of a Jean Rhys novel. I think I would be like, hey, it's a movie, let's just watch it. I don't know that I would be like, this isn't how it went.
I don't think I can say no to that any more emphatically. You would lose your ever, this is coming from your BFF. You would lose every bit of yourself that you have.
I think that if somebody, but I think the difference here is that if somebody made a Jean Rhys movie, I would just be so excited that people would know who she was finally, that I would be like,
okay,
I think you could hold both those emotions.
I'll hold them.
You would be excited. And I'd be like, this is a
terrible movie, but I'm really excited.
You would yell at the screen. Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
No. There's two pornos that are adapted for Lord of the Rings, and they're both gay pornos, and they're called.
Did they involve Aragorn?
Oh yeah, it's Lord of the Cock Ring, and then Lord of the Cock Ring too. So, and there are so many people who hear this, and they're like, how could they ever do this? And I'm like, not awesome?
How are like there
there's a sequel? They needed a sequel.
There's a sequel, dude. They were the first one was so successful they had to make a sequel.
You know you've made it when you get a sequel. Gosh. But also, I love that they didn't go. What is the second one in the series? Is
Lord of the Cock Ring 2?
No, yeah. I know that. I meant
the two towers.
Okay.
That is a missed trick. They could have called it the Two Towers. You know what you could have done with that?
Yeah, it's really so real. The most phallic symbols available to you, and you just keep really conquering.
Yeah, man, that is a fumble right there.
But I'm sort of with you. I don't say like my favorite. This will surprise you, and it usually does. My favorite film is On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Don't make me explain it. Because I know it's a very anti-feminist text, just go with it. But when they adapted it, like there was like major plot points that they like left out. The characters were, don't get me started on even what they were supposed to look like. Like Christy was talking about, like none of it.
It's just wrong.
They were hot. I'll give them that. But like, I don't even know they were supposed to be that hot in that book. But anyway, but I loved it. Because I just liked seeing the book that I loved play out on a screen, you know, and, you know, but I feel like certain fandoms, and I talked to you about this in our conversation we're having, Nick, it just feels like certain fandoms hold so tight to something.
Yeah.
Like you didn't see like, you know, the Kerouac Society come out and be like, oh, I mean, they maybe did, but I didn't hear about it. But you know, like I've only watched some of the Rings of Power, I will say, which is a key thing because I've read all the books and of Lord of the Rings and seen all of those movies. Same. And read the Silmarillion and all of that. And I only watched a little bit of
Rings of Power. Did you know that you were with two people who've read all of these books?
Okay, I knew that.
That wasn't a flex.
I remember hearing a podcast forever ago that you hadn't read it. Is that so? Has this like been a recent thing, or have you?
No, I read it years ago. I read
The Rings of Power.
I read The Lord of the Rings. I read all three of the Lord of the Rings. I read The Hobbit, and then I read the Silmarillion. However you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like a southerner.
The Silmarillion, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen to him.
I have all of those books, and I read all of those books, and because I was in college.
Where are you?
When did the movies come out? The Peter Jackson movies.
2000.
The first one came out in 2001. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I was in college when all this was happening, and. So everybody was really into it. Like we would go, you know, see it in the theater, and like everybody was reading the books, and we would talk about. In fact, I for a really long time, and it still might be there. There was a Lord of the Rings quote on my Facebook, like where you could put a quote. It's from the Lord of the Rings. Like
Christy Whaley is journeying towards.
I just like. After college was just like, okay, done with that now.
I was kind of the same. I read them and saw the films.
I met all of the beer camp people, and all of a sudden, everybody's like,
Tolkien's back.
And I was like, what's happening? This is back in my life.
According to one beer camp, that man said, Tolkien not as important as J.R.R. Martin is more than Tolkien.
Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones guy.
Has he been watching
J.R.R. Martin? Yeah.
What did he say? What did he say about him?
It wasn't nice. You didn't like it, Nick.
Oh, really?
You want to fight a Canadian?
I have the worst
today?
Memory of all time, so I don't even remember this.
I sent it, so it's very upsetting.
Oh, okay, are you talking about Myron?
Yeah.
Oh, because he said the Seven Kingdoms was better because it was more.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Myron, I won't go on the high horse. J.R. Martin is amazing. I love all of his stuff. I think that his moral ambiguity is amazing. His world building is fantastic. But when people say that Tolkien is black and white, no.
That's what Myron said, basically. Yeah.
Everyone is morally gray in The Lord of the Rings. The only people who say that they're not are the people that I critiqued in my essay, where they're like, oh, they're these white knights that are going to destroy evil. No.
I found it. I'm really enjoying A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms and have high hopes for tonight's episode. One thing I appreciate about George R. R. Martin's world making more than Tolkien's is the moral complexity of the characters.
Oh God, Nick's gonna fight a Canadian. Oh no.
Byron, the nicest people we know are about to fight.
Myron, if you're, I don't know you, Myron, and it's okay if you love J.R. Martin more. It's okay. But to say that J.R. Martin's has a more morally complex character development is just incorrect. And, we'll mud wrestle. Yeah,
And please get the other nicest. We'll get Josh Newell in there too, because those are like nice people. And he'll be
we'll just have all the nicest people.
We're just constantly apologizing as we're slipping all over each other. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
You forget why you're there. Because you're like, I don't even know why I like all these.
I know. We're all muddy and we're like, hey, let me rinse off. Let's grab a beer.
And then they're like, you guys figure out that actually it was Leah and Christy who put you together and made you do this. And they're like, oh, well. Oh,
yeah. Well, that tracks.
Well, guys, that feels like a good place to end our recording that we can all obviously continue on after. Is there anything that you want to plug, Nick? I mean, we have shouted out your Instagram tag, so that people can check out the Substack and see the article that you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm on pretty much everywhere at NJS Polk. And then my Substack is Tolkien Pop, and that's everything's free. Nothing's paywalled. So you can go there and read anything or listen to anything I've recorded there.
We'll tag you and all the important places as well. So, we'll make Josh do it for us.
We'll tell Josh.
It was so much fun to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. This is the best.
It's a delight. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.